Now, think about what is being said here. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Oh yes, reflections have been seen. The earth declares the glory of the Lord. There's been some reflection of this in the fire and in the cloud. But the thing itself is going to be put on display.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. We've been in a series called Waiting for the Lord. It's from Isaiah 40. And today, Colin, we come to the words, the glory of the Lord will be revealed.
Yeah, it's the most marvelous statement, and it answers the question, can I actually know God? And that's a huge question. Is it actually possible for a person to know God? And how would that be possible? I mean, we're just guessing, speculating. I mean, is God just a projection of our own imagination, our own prejudice? How would it be possible for me to actually know God? And the answer is, there's only one way in which it would be possible, and that is if God has made himself known. That's the significance of the word revealed. Does God, as it were, pull back the curtain? Has he done this? And the answer is, yes, he has, and he's done it in Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and it's been revealed in the sending of his Son. We really can know God. You can know God in and through faith in Jesus Christ, his Son, who he has sent into the world. And here, hundreds of years before the time of Christ, Isaiah prophesies that the glory of the Lord will be revealed. We're going to see the significance of that for every person today.
Well, I hope you'll grab a Bible and join us in the book of Isaiah. We're in chapter 40 as we begin our message, Behold Your God. Here is Pastor Colin.
I've been thanking the Lord in a special way, really, over these last days, and want you to know what's been on my mind. When Paul thanked God for a congregation he loved so much in Thessalonica, he spoke about their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. And I thank God for these things in all of you. Some of you have been blessed, especially with an enterprise of faith. You see what can be done, you grasp a vision, you run with it, you go for it. Some of you have been blessed in a special way with an ongoing labor of love, staying faithful year in, year out, sustaining the life of ministry, bringing stability to the life and to the ministry of the church. Some of you have been blessed with the patience of hope, and you have pressed on through disappointments and through discouragements, showing grace and showing patience as all of us try and offer our very, very best to the Lord. And so I want to say again this Christmas time, thank you to you for your commitment to Christ, your commitment to the church, and for the great joy that it is for us to serve the Lord together. Now, in the run-up to Christmas, we've been in Isaiah in chapter 40, and I invite you to open your Bible there again. This remarkable chapter that, as we've seen, begins with comfort and it ends with the renewing of strength. What's not to love about that? And the reason it begins with comfort and ends with the renewing of strength is that all the way through, it is packed full of anticipations of the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. Growing up in Edinburgh, Scotland, one of our traditions was that on New Year's Day, our family always went to a performance of Handel's Messiah in the city of Edinburgh, started at noon, ended at 3. And I came as a child to know that marvelous piece of music very well, as many of you do. And it's just striking when Handel launched his whole presentation of the Messiah, Jesus Christ coming into the world, and wrote that marvelous and timeless music. His launch point was Isaiah 40. If you think about this chapter and if you know the music there, you'll see immediately, where does it begin? Comfort ye my people, every valley shall be exalted, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. O thou who tellest good tidings to Zion, lift up your voice and say, behold your God, and so forth. All of it comes out of this chapter, and that's why I'm saying to you that here is a chapter that is packed full of anticipations of Jesus, so that when the great musician came to compose a presentation of the Messiah, his starting point out of all the Old Testament was to come again and again and to pick up these great themes from this chapter that has been in front of us and is open today. And we've noted together, especially from verse 2, that this is God speaking tenderly to his people. And he's calling us to speak into a very broken world in the same tone. And the question, of course, is when we speak tenderly into a broken world, what are we to say? What is the message that is given to the church? What are we to speak into the world? And we've been tracing it from this marvelous chapter. We are to speak first about God's abundant provision, and we saw that from verses 2 and 3. It's all about peace being established and a pardon being secured and a payment being made through a person whose way is to be prepared, who is coming into the world, the person of Jesus Christ. But we've also seen that we are to speak tenderly and candidly and directly about our own desperate need. And we looked at that last week. Our lives are beautiful, verse 6, but they're also fragile. They're like the grass. They're beautiful because we're made in the image of God, but our lives are fragile because when God blows on us, we are gone. And we saw how wonderful it is that a Christian believer can say, now my birth and my life and my death are all in the hands of my Heavenly Father who loves me. And nothing that happens in all of my life will ever be by random chance. I am in the hands of God who made me, the hands of God who redeemed me. And his word stands forever. That's where we came to last week there in verse 8. The word of the Lord stands forever. And therefore, here is the foundation on which I can build my life and on which any person can build a life that is sure for time and for eternity. So here is the great message that we are to speak, that is given to the church, that we are to speak into the world. It is a message of God's abundant provision through the one who will come into the world. It is matched with a presentation of our own desperate need of this provision. And today, therefore, I want us to see how these two things come together in Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to pick up particularly on verse 5, which we passed over earlier, and I did that deliberately to keep it for today, and then verse 9 through 11. Verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And then verse 9 takes up this great theme, in the light of what has been revealed, we are to say into this broken world with great tenderness, behold your God. Behold your God. Now, these are the two key words, the words revealed and behold. And immediately you will see that these obviously belong together. The glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. What has been hidden is going to be made known. So this is rather like opening a Christmas present. So here are these gifts, and they are under the tree, but they are wrapped. And we know that something good is there. It may even have our name on it. And we may even think that we know what it is. But we don't absolutely know for sure until we get to tear the paper off. We have not yet actually seen it until the gift will be revealed. That's the word here, the glory of the Lord. What has been wrapped is now going to be revealed in the coming of Jesus Christ. And because the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed, therefore we are able to say, and Isaiah calls us to say, verse 9, behold your God. Here's the message of the church. We're to say in this broken world with great tenderness and love, now look at your God. Look at what has been revealed in Jesus Christ. And of course, when something great and glorious, something of great value is opened, it is revealed, you want to look at it. I mean, what would you make of a person who, a little box and it's wrapped up and they open it and it's a diamond. And they say, oh, right, fine. And then open the next box and it's candy. And you say, now, wait a minute. Look at what you were just given. You're never going to be given in all of your life another gift that's quite like that. It's of supreme value. Don't pass it to one side. As you've opened it, now look at it. Look at it. And take in what it is that you have been given. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Behold your God. So there's a revealing and there's a beholding. And these are the two things that are before us today.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Behold Your God, part of a series called Waiting for the Lord from Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to get back to this message in just a moment. But I want to let you know about a special event that we've got going on tomorrow night. We're going to have a 2-hour session with Pastor Colin that will take us all the way through the Bible story, from Genesis to Revelation. It's going to be online. It'll be happening at 7 o'clock local time at our website, openthebible.org. And on this special two-hour journey through the Bible story, you're going to meet five people in the Old Testament, learn about five events from the life of Christ, and discover five gifts that God gives to every believer. That's Open the Bible Story, happening tomorrow night at 7 p.m. local time. You can come to our website and find out more. That's at openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. And while you're there, I want to encourage you to check out Waiting for the Lord. It's Pastor Colin's devotional book for the Advent season. And this is a gift that we would love to send to you as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. Again, you can find out more at our website. You can also give your gift online. It's openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
There's a revealing and there's a beholding, and these are the two things that are before us today. So I hope your Bible is open there. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. What is the glory of the Lord? And what does it mean for this glory to be revealed? Let me give you a simple description. The glory of the Lord is the full wonder of who God is. It is the splendor of God Himself. And those who know the Bible will perhaps immediately think of how earlier in the Bible story, Moses, who knew much about God, went up the mountain and on one occasion he prayed with great passion and intensity, "O God, please show me your glory." And when Moses prayed that, he was asking God simply this: show me the full wonder of who you are. Now, here's the fascinating thing about Moses' prayer. God had already made himself known to Moses. He'd done that, of course, in the burning bush, and he'd done that in the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea. More than that, we are particularly told that the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. We're told that the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire. And when the tent of meeting that housed the tabernacle where God was to be worshipped and the people were to gather, when that was dedicated, it's in the last chapter of the book of Exodus, we're told that the cloud of the glory of God's presence filled this tent in such a way that Moses was not even able to go into it. So very clearly, something of the glory of the Lord had been revealed already. But notice how it had been revealed. It had been revealed in a cloud. How do you get hold of a cloud? I mean, that's saying that although some of the brightness of the presence of God had been revealed, it was ultimately at that point unknowable. And it was revealed in a fire, in the pillar of fire. How close can you get to a pillar of fire? Not very close. So it was unapproachable. And then when the glory of the Lord comes down and it fills this tent of meeting, Moses can't even get in. It's inaccessible. And so something of the glory of the Lord has been made known. But the full wonder of who God is yet to be made known. And so Moses comes before the Lord and drawn by everything that he does know of God, he says, "Show me your glory. Lord, I've seen reflections of the brightness of your glory in the fire and in the cloud. But that has given me this great desire. I want to know the full wonder of who you are. I want to see your face. Show me your glory." And you can read in Exodus chapter 33 how God spoke to Moses on that occasion and said, "Moses, you cannot see my face and live." And so God hid Moses in the cleft of a rock. The Bible says, covered him with his hand. And then God caused his glory to pass by the cleft of the rock so that Moses was allowed to see the afterburn of the glory of the Lord. He'd seen an appearance. He'd seen a reflection. He longed to see the thing itself. Last month marked 50 years since the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And amongst the many programs that were made to mark that occasion, CNN ran a piece that included reference to the pink suit that was worn by Jackie Kennedy on that day. Now, most of us can immediately picture that pink suit, right? I thought, well, I don't even need to put a picture of that up on the screen because everyone has a picture of the pink suit, the iconic pink suit, fixed in our own minds. Why is that? Because we have seen many, many pictures, images of this in newsreel footage and in magazine photographs and so forth and so on. We have all seen a representation of the pink suit. I would be almost certain that not one of us here has actually seen the thing itself. And what was fascinating to me about the CNN report is the pink suit, they said, has never been cleaned, that it was given as a gift to the people of the United States by Carolyn Kennedy in 2003, which was 9 years after her mother's death, and that the gift came with the condition that it should not be put on display for 100 years. So 2103, and even then it would be with the permission of that generation of the Kennedy family and not before that time. Further, the suit is now stored in the National Archives building in Maryland, and it is stored in a windowless vault in an acid-free container where the air is changed 3 times every hour for the preservation of the fabric, and the temperature is maintained between 65 and 68 degrees. And so it will be for at least 90 years. Now, all of us have seen images of the pink suit. I refer to the pink suit immediately. You have a picture, as I have a picture in my mind. But none of us has seen the thing itself. It is locked up in a vault. It is hidden from public view. But 90 years from now, the children of the youngest children here today in their old age may be able to go and see it if it's put on display in Washington. They may get to see the thing itself. Earlier this year, Karen and I visited the Space Center at Cape Canaveral. Some of you may have been there. Remarkable experience. Once in a lifetime just to be up close to the thing itself. I mean, all of us have seen endless pictures of rockets. But at Cape Canaveral, we were able to see Saturn V suspended in a vast hangar so you can walk all its length. The sheer scale, the sheer size of this was utterly overwhelming. It's different to see the thing itself, no matter how many pictures you may have seen over many, many years. Now, think about what is being said here. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Oh yes, reflections have been seen. The earth declares the glory of the Lord. There's been some reflection of this in the fire and in the cloud. But the thing itself is going to be put on display. It's going to be after many hundreds of years beyond the time of Isaiah. We're going to get something that is more than reflections of the glory of the Lord that are unknowable and unapproachable and inaccessible. Isaiah says the glory of the Lord will be revealed. What Moses longed to see will be put on display, and it will not be made accessible only to a few like Moses. All flesh shall see it together. The coming of Jesus Christ will bring about a position in which any person in the world may come to know God as he is through his Son, who is the image, the exact representation of his being. God is going to make the full wonder of who he is made known in Jesus Christ. And that's why when you get to the Christmas story, you have John saying, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory." It's like the whole Bible story has been leading up to this. the full wonder of who God is, now made known in Jesus Christ so that the knowledge of God may be accessible, God approachable to all who will come to the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the marvel. This is why the coming of Jesus Christ into the world is the center point of human history and must always be so. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Now, in the light of this great reality that we celebrate at Christmas, what are we to do? Well, says Isaiah, here's what you do. You behold your God. You look at what has been revealed. And you notice there that the word behold comes not once, but it comes three times. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might. Behold, his reward is with him. Now, to behold simply means look at this. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. So look at your God, look at his might, look at his reward. That's what Isaiah says. That's what we're to do. And that's what we're called to call other people to do.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Behold Your God. But what does that actually mean? We've just barely begun to look at that. And on our next broadcast, we're going to take a look at what it means to look at God, to look at his strength, and to look at his reward. So I do hope you make it a point to tune in and join us for that. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and you can listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free right there at the website. You can also listen on the go if you're podcasting the program. You can sign up for that through the website. And you can listen on the go if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. It's a great way to stay connected with this ministry and to listen to Pastor Colin's teaching whenever it fits your schedule. The app is available at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. Just come to openthebible.org. Well, today's message, Behold Your God, is part of a larger series called Waiting for the Lord. And if you'd like to find out more about getting this series on CD, you can find that at the website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you an Advent devotional to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season. It's a 24-day devotional from Pastor Colin. And Colin, this is based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
Yes, it's a marvelous chapter of Scripture to meditate on, especially as we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. And it's so full of good things. I mean, just verse after verse speak to us wonderfully. I mean, for example, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, that beautiful image of the flower and the grass fading away, it just speaks to us of the fragility of life. And we all come to places when we're feeling how fragile things are, things that we have, things that are around us, our own lives, the lives of other people we love and trust. And suddenly when you become aware of the fragility of everything in this world, you begin to say, what is there solid? What is there that I can rest on? What is there that will never move? And here Isaiah says, the word of the Lord stands forever. That builds strength into the soul. So this chapter is just full of wonderful, rich truth that will build, nourish, strengthen your soul. And it leads to this marvelous promise that's the title of the devotional. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So if you need renewed strength, this is a wonderful chapter of Scripture for you to meditate on.
Well, we want to send you, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support and to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season, Pastor Colin's devotional book, Waiting for the Lord. You can find out more or give your gift online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. Our website is openthebible.org, and again, the phone number, 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Where can you find God? Who is he, and what is he like? Well, God has not left you to make up your own answer. Discover the answers next time on Open the Bible.